I want to bring a message to you this morning from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to read a long passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 20. This marks a time when Jesus' ministry took a turn. Until this time, Jesus had been preaching in the synagogues of the Jews in all the little towns. And when Jesus went into a town, he would go to the synagogue and there he would teach. But we begin now to see a turn. And Jesus, in fact, is now going where the people are. And you'll see that in the rest of the ministry that he has, the crowds keep growing and they keep coming. And he's speaking to people, not just religious folks who are in the synagogue, but he's talking to those outside. John 3:16, these would be for God so loved the world. Well, these are the world. It's maybe a lesson to us that we need to understand that the ministry is out there where the people are that don't believe. Reading then in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very great multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate it up, and other seed fell in the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell into the good soil. And as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing, they may not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones who are beside the road, where the word is sown, and when they hear immediately, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in similar ways, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then affliction and persecution arises because of the word. Immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who heard the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are the good soil. And they hear, and the word, and they accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let's pray together. Father, I simply pray that through your word you'd speak in each heart to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to address you concerning the desire of God's heart when he looks out across the multitudes and says, "Be mine." You know, we've all seen the little Valentine hearts, the little candy ones in the store that'll have little messages on them. And I used to root through those and find the little messages that were the most romantic and give those to the pretty girls, and everybody else could have the other stuff. But I thought about that and the little hearts that say, "Be mine." The truth is that the gospel bears the same message to all the world. A message of his love, his gift in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his kingdom. Jesus' parable is about sowing, growing, and harvest time. The variable in the story is the soil. It's the same word, seed. Everything is the same, same sower. The difference, though, the variable is in the soil. You see, the sower's intent is always the same. Let's look at the four types of soil as Jesus describes them. First of all, there's the hard dirt in verse 2, and the explanation of the hard dirt in verses 14 and 15 tell us that actually the hard dirt stands for the hard heart. You ever seen a hard-hearted person? Whew. You know what that's like, don't you? Hard-hearted person. I thought about this, and I thought about the best way to address it. I thought about the beaten-down path that we find so many times. The well-traveled path. The path is hard because of the repeated travel on the path. It's callous. It's indifferent. The kind of heart that is shallow or hard. That kind of heart is completely indifferent to the love of God. I thought about sidewalks and beaten paths. I can remember when I went to Geneva College. That's where I met Carol. And Geneva had some of the strangest sidewalks that would go from one place to another with no rhyme or reason to me, but everybody seemed to go on them. And I said, "How in the world did somebody pick out that place for a sidewalk?" And they said, "Well, we put in the regular sidewalks when we built the school, but nobody walked on them. They just walked on these other places, so we decided to put sidewalk where they walked." And let me tell you something. That's how a lot of religion is. You see, God has laid down the sidewalk. God has laid it down. He has given us the path. And a lot of religion today, just because people decide to go their own way, are building little paths to accommodate the desires of the people. God help us. And the sad thing is that there are still a lot of people just exactly that way. You see, the easy way is the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance. You know what I found when I was younger and living a lot of times where I shouldn't be? I found that when it came to sin, there were no barriers for me. Have any of you found that out? There were no barriers when it came to sin. Why, I could sin all I wanted and sin never said stop. I could go anywhere I wanted to and sin never said don't go there. And the problem is that the road of sin, the path of least resistance, is easy. Now, don't we tend to go the easy way? Isn't that the way generally most of us work? We go the way that's easy. The thing is that the path of sin leads us because of our rebellious nature. And so we have a rebellious repetition. Did you ever say, oh, Lord, I am so ashamed of myself. I'll never do that again. Anybody ever say that? Yes. We've all said that. And what happened the next time we turn around? And we do the same thing over again. And we make the same promise to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'll never do that again. But you see, it's that rebellious repetition. You see, we're never going to change our ways. The only way out of that rebellious repetition is for God to change our heart. That's the only way out. I thought about the sidewalks, and you know, in the life of the sinner, the sidewalk is irrelevant. The Word of God is irrelevant. It means nothing to them. You see, they say, well, that's not the way I'm going. That's not the path I'm on. And so those with the hard heart are impervious to the Word of God, the seed. The seed is wasted on them, and yet the sower still sowed it. Praise God. Give them a chance. So we have those with the hard heart. Next passage talks about those with the shallow heart. Those with the shallow heart. The rocky dirt in verses 5 and 6 is the shallow heart of verses 16 and 17. You see, they're attracted by the word. And they're quick to start, to begin. They're attracted. Now, when you think about it, the gospel is very attractive. I mean, after all, Jesus paid the price for every sin that I ever committed and every one that I will commit. Now, that's attractive. Did you ever look for somebody to pay your bill? I mean, you can sit in a restaurant for 2.5 hours and wait for somebody to pick up the tab, and that's not happening. Jesus Christ died a horrible, painful death on the cross. And that's exactly what he did. He picked up the tab for my sinful life. That's attractive. And a lot of times when people hear the gospel, they say, wow, that's for me. I want some of that. And so they very quickly start. And yet there's no root and no depth. You see, that rocky dirt, now in Palestine, in Israel, the land there, and when he's talking rocky, he's not talking about boulders sticking out of the ground, but he's talking about a very, very thin layer of soil on top of bed limestone. Limestone that would cover this entire sanctuary, covered with just a dusting of dirt. Now, you know, you would throw the seed out there, and when the sun came up, you'd not only have the sun beating down, but the warmth radiating up off of that solid rock, and very quickly the seed would germinate and spring up. But you see, because the heart was shallow, because the ground was shallow, there was no place for a root system. It's those with the shallow heart are the ones with, they make a very superficial commitment to the Lord. It's a commitment, first of all, that's not wholehearted. It's a commitment that's half-hearted, if you will. Did you ever see half-hearted folks? They're not worth much, are they? They're not worth much. These are the folks whose faith doesn't make it through. The passage tells us that they're only temporary. Lord, would you like to think about being only a temporary Christian? I thank God that my salvation doesn't depend on me. It depends on what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. And once a person is saved, and I'm talking about really saved, then they're saved forever. It's not a temporary thing. It says, though, that these immediately fall away. And I have a saying that I've shared with the people. I'm not sure everybody remembers it. And it says, it goes like this. Faith that falters before the finish is faulty from the first. You got that, I'm sure. Did you write that down? I'll say it slowly. A faith that falters before the finish was faulty from the first. There was something wrong. There was something wrong from the very beginning. I can remember Linda's and my dad was a welder. And on some of the jobs he would go out on, like powerhouse jobs, where the welding had to be perfect, they would give him a test. And he would weld 8 hours on one joint of pipe, and then they would x-ray it. And if there was the least flaw or the least crack, it was rejected. And I want you to know, it's just that important that we trust Christ with everything we are. All of you, and I know that we don't judge anyone, but the Bible says we are supposed to be fruit inspectors. All of us have seen people that fall away. We've seen them all. They start out strong. They're fast out of the gate. Every time the doors open, here they come. Every time somebody says something good, it's amen. Praise the Lord. And then pretty soon, things happen and you don't see them on Wednesday night anymore. And you don't see them on Sunday night. Then you don't see them on Sunday morning. Now, a lot of times, God will touch their heart in that condition. Bible says it's a backslidden condition. God will touch their heart and draw them back. But I want you to know that there are many that go and never return because that faith that they placed in Christ was faulty. Jesus said to all of those who would follow him, count the cost. Count the cost. Salvation is free, but it's far from cheap. Third, we had the thorny dirt. And the thorny dirt of verse 7 is the overcrowded heart of verses 18 and 19. Now, the thorns were never rooted out. I can remember in my first garden, there were thorns and thistles and briars all on that patch of land. And I cut them all out with a swing blade. And we raked them up and burned them. I thought, oh, am I a farmer or what? And we planted the seed, and I learned something. In the first place, if you don't get the root, you didn't get it. And all of that stuff grew up along with the plants. And now, this was my first garden, and I had to go get the old man that I was gardening with on his land. And I said, Balmer, would you come and show me what's good and what's not? And he laughed and he chuckled. And he says, come on. He said, walk with me. And he went down each one of the rows in my garden. And with his foot, he would mark out what the good plant was. And when it got all done, he said, now just cut everything else out. But this time, cut it out at the root. Because you see, it was growing up and it was growing around my good stuff and choking it to death. Now, I want you to know that I had more than seed in that garden. Oh, if it had been just seed, I'd have let the roots have it. I had sweat and blood in that thing. I mean, we had a rainstorm that knocked all the corn down. I went through there and picked up every one of them and stomped dirt around them. I didn't want them. That was my lifeblood. It was more than seed. And I want you to know something. In life, it's more than just seed. That's why Jesus said, count the cost. The thorny dirt. You know, I thought about that, those things that are never rooted out. How many habits do you have that were never rooted out? You keep clipping them. Do you go through that in your life? You keep trimming them off so nobody will see them. Oh, but they're still there. Oh, they still pester you. They still stick you. Told somebody one time, they came to me with this big problem in the church, and I said, that's one of those thorny problems. He said, what do you mean? I said, any way you handle it, you're going to get stuck. And that's how the thorns are. And so many times, we don't root out those habits. We don't root out those ungodly relationships that God saved us from. In fact, I think sometimes that we cultivate them. And the fact is, we don't root out that mindset. That mindset, that heart. But then the Lord had something to say about the good dirt. The good dirt in verse 8 is actually the good heart of verse 20. Jesus was trying to teach them, and he said that if you're going to be the good soil, that means that you must listen. You have to listen to hear. How many times did Jesus say, he that hath ears, let him hear? Back in the passage that everybody says, oh, Jesus didn't mean that, back in verses 11 and 12, he's not saying that I'm going to preach in parables so that they won't understand and they won't get saved. That's not what he said. He said, I'm going to make it as clear as I can. by telling them stories about things they already understand, and they don't want to hear it because they don't want to repent, and they won't hear it. He said first that you must listen. Any man here whose wife says to him, and boy, they catch us, don't they? Are you listening to me?
Uh-huh.
And then they get me. Carol will say, well, then what did I say?
All we can do is mumble, isn't it?
That's how we deal with God. Did you hear me? Jesus said, listen. You must listen. You know, so many times we're talking when we should be listening. There are people that when you talk to them, they're talking right along with you. Do you ever notice that? Well, let me tell you something. When that happens, it's time to shut up. I usually will just be quiet and let them finish talking. And then I'll start over and they'll start talking again. You see, we're caught up with our own voice. Are you listening or are you talking? That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. Also, though, we don't listen because, well, we have our own opinions. We have our own way of thinking about things, and we are not open. Do you know your mind and your heart has to be open to hear? It's not just your ears. We not only must listen, but we also must receive what is given. We have to receive it. Truth can be like bitter medicine. I love to tell you the truth about you, but I don't like to hear it about me. But the fact is, truth can be like bitter medicine. Linda's and my grandmother, in the fall of the year, so that we wouldn't get sick all winter, dosed us. How many of you had grandmas that dosed you? Mom dosed us with cod liver oil. Do you ever get cod liver oil in your mouth? It lasted all winter. You can't drink. She'd give us a glass of orange juice. I could drink a gallon. Didn't do any good. And she had a spoon that big. And she'd say, this is good for you. Huh. Well, it didn't taste good. Let me tell you something. A lot of times, the truth doesn't taste very good. Why? Because we don't want to hear it. And the point is, we don't really receive it into our lives. The third thing, though, if you want to be good soil, simply is this. You must put it into action. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, I'm sure that by this time, you know where this is going, don't you? It's real simple. The conclusion doesn't take long at all. And the simple question is this, what's the condition of your heart? Right now, today. You say, well, Brother Bob, I'm saved. Well, are you living like it? Is there any fruit in your life that says so? Or somewhere have you gotten rebellious and backed away? What's the condition of your heart? You know, if you had a pain in your chest, you'd go to the doctors. And if he had any doubt about your heart, he'd give you an EKG. And so I want you to think about a spiritual EKG. E, very simply, is this: examine your heart. Paul said, examine thyself to see if ye be in the faith. Examine your heart. Is it real? That relationship with the Lord, is it real? Is it the priority of your life? And the K stands for know whose you are. You need to know that you know that you know that you're saved. I always say, once saved, always saved, if you're saved. I didn't mean walk down the aisle. I didn't mean put your name in the book. And I didn't mean get in the baptistry. I mean surrender all that you are to the Lordship of Jesus Christ for eternity. Do you know that you know that you're saved? And the G stands very simply for grow. Grow in grace daily. Grow in relationship to the Lord. This year, Carol and I will celebrate 49 years of marriage. And I want you to know that the relationship we share is not the same as when that beautiful girl walked down the aisle. Because we've nurtured that relationship and we've grown in that relationship. And there's a harvest that's taken place in our lives because of that relationship. Examine. Know. And then spend the rest of your life growing. Let's pray together. Father, very simple prayer this morning. Pray that you might help each one as they examine their lives. Father, that you'd hold your flashlight on every corner, every crevice, every place that we don't want you to see. I pray that you'd break hearts, that our prayer might be, oh God, forgive us. Oh God. I pray that you do this for the benefit of each one, that they might be filled with your joy and with your peace. Lord, do what only you can do. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly, prayerfully. And I want you to know that the invitation is simpler than the prayer. If you've looked in your heart, if you've examined your heart and find that you're lacking, you need to come to Jesus and you need to make that right. And the only way to do that is to come, fall on his mercy, confess, repent, and restore that relationship. If you've never really entered into that and God touches your heart, you need to come. Don't be like the seed on the side of the road, the hard ground. Don't be like the seed that the Satan would send the birds and gather it. Do you understand that if God has convicted your heart and you walk out that door, that's the soil of your heart? I'll stand at the front. I'll help you if I can. I'll pray with you. But if you come, you come to Jesus. Dawn's going to lead us as we sing. That makes it easy. Step out on the first verse.